Congressman Jim Moran is my guest. Congressman Moran, the president has signed the legislation delaying the implementation of the STOCK Act, the parts that would require senior executive service employees to have their financial disclosures placed online. Is this just the first step, do you think, in getting these parts of the STOCK Act repealed permanently, sir?
I certainly hope so. It's really inexcusable to be punishing 28,000 senior federal employees for what some members of Congress were involved in. I think they're trying to perhaps shift the attention or whatever, but we have no cause to be forcing federal employees to disclose all of their personal financial information for anyone to access online. So I would much prefer that we kill that whole section of the law. It's called Section 11. But what the legislation will do is the minimum we should have done in the first place, which is to do a six-month study by the National Association of Public Administration to determine if there is a problem, one, and secondly, what is the most responsible, appropriate way in which to deal with that problem. And so it will delay implementation of Section 11 for 1 year. And hopefully during that year, we can make the point, at least those of us, particularly in the Washington area, who represent federal employees and know for a fact that the federal employees are not responsible for any of these allegations, some true, some simply invented, but whatever they are, they should not involve federal employees, and hopefully we will eliminate this entirely, but at least it will, its implementation will be suspended for an entire year while a six-month study takes place.
Mr. Congressman, maybe you can give us some insight into how these processes work. When this bill was originally drafted, it was intended to address concerns about your colleagues, members of Congress, and then it expanded to include staffs. And then we wound up with this Section 11, as you described it, that affected senior executive service employees. How did that coverage creep happen?
Well, I'll give you my suspicion. My suspicion is that members who felt vulnerable wanted to include the executive branch so that attention would be devoted to the executive branch and avoid the kind of scrutiny that they were concerned about. I could mention names, but I don't think I should do that because I'm hoping that they will go along next year with eliminating Section 11 entirely. But I do think it was largely political and an attempt to divert attention.
Now, the success of your bill that the president has signed, does that give you hope that a bill, the same idea, but that would permanently repeal this, would have the same kind of success passing and the same kinds of success headed to the White House?
Well, I would hope so. I had a bill, as you may know, Francis, that we drew up in the House, and it was suggested that we not antagonize the leadership in the House of Representatives by suggesting that this be done. And so it became controversial enough that we couldn't get it done while the Congress was in session. But finally, we were able to, when the Congress was in recess, we were able to do it by unanimous consent by accepting the Senate version. I would hope that we could get this through, because my guess is that they're going to want something in return for it. You know, it's so difficult to get anything done, and then when you do get it done, you have to give up so much that sometimes it hardly seems worth it. But we'll see. I don't know how much more federal employees can give up. I mean, their pay has been frozen for 3 years. They've given up contributions towards their health plan. Their pensions are under attack. So I don't know what more they could want from federal employees, but this is certainly rubbing salt into the wound to think that anybody over GS-15 and any SES employee that we desperately need in the federal government have to take all of their personal financial information, make it available to basically millions of people who might want to find it and punish them for some imagine some reason or some difficulty that they've had with them. I mean, it exposes every federal employee to a malicious action taken against them. And I mean, they work so hard for so relatively little money, and it's the least corrupt large civil service in the entire world. This was certainly uncalled for, unnecessary, and I hope it can be undone.
Congressman Moran, you mentioned that there have been some changes to the employee benefit plan in the federal government, and there are some there seem to always be different things talked about. And we hear all the time from the advocacy groups who are working to try to preserve federal employee benefits as best they can. What are some of the things that they're talking to you about, and what are some of the things that you're most concerned about and you hear the most about as you go and talk to your constituents?
Well, I'm concerned about keeping the federal employees' health benefits plan intact. As you may know, France, but it's only because you cover this so in such depth. The Congress is no longer going to have FEHBP apply to it. It will go into an exchange that everyone else is part of. The other side could be thinking about doing something like that to federal employees. They're always trying to reduce pension benefits. And as part of the sequester, there will be thousands and thousands of federal employees either furloughed or laid off if this sequester was to take place. And unless we can raise more revenue, I mean, we're at an historically low level of revenue. If we can't raise revenue or taxes and deal with some of the entitlement programs that need some reform in some areas in terms of their cost, if we can't do that, then it's going to be a short period of time before we will only be spending money on entitlement expenditures and interest on the debt, with some toward defense, and the other domestic non-defense discretionary agencies are going to wither on the vine, and those are federal employees. I mean, this sequester, if it's applied, it'll be applied across the board, and many of these agencies are only personnel. And so people will be furloughed for as much as 6 weeks at a time. How do you keep the airlines running without air traffic controllers? How do you keep our food healthy without meat inspectors? It was meant to be so insanely irrational that it would never take place unless it's a real possibility at the end of the year. And I think that in any compromise, it will continue to be the House majority who insists upon taking a pound of flesh from federal employees, because basically their whole mantra is that the federal government is the problem, and they want to take every opportunity to reduce the size of the federal government, which in effect means reducing the number of civil service personnel, which is in many ways at an historically low level given the population and the needs of a globally competitive economy.